in this day and age, I'm hoping that people see as quick as you get it. It's like dope money. Come quick, leave quick. So when it comes to this technology, exactly what it is. You got instant gratification thing. You can touch as many people with it as quick as they want to go. Whoop, they can pull it from you. And right now we're talking about, are we talking about a virus? A virus, that's what we talk about, SARS, MERS, bird, swine, Ebola, now Corona. Like, come on, folks. I mean, you gotta read the tea leaves, bro. The devil's in the details. And with that said, is if you look at the recovery numbers on what we're talking about, I don't know what it is, but I guess the flu went on vacation on this year. Heart attacks went on vacation this year. Everything went on vacation this year when it came to, I'm talking about, what we're going through right now.
Right.
Okay. And let's just call a spade. And the reason I can have this conversation is because my family comes from communism. They fled communism. They had everything taken away from them. Everybody got murdered. Everybody got killed. And that's the reason me being a first generation Cuban American, or maybe us being first generation Cuban Americans, I look at freedom and I appreciate that shit. I appreciate opportunity. I appreciate anything that you give me. All I need is a little slip, partner, and I got you. And that comes from the fact that when a Castro took over everything, and I'm looking at what's going on right now, the only person here that's hot, 38 hot, is Castro. He's going, y'all did it with a virus? Shit. Y'all took over the world with a virus? Y'all gotta be kidding me. He had missiles pointed to the United States of America during the Russian missile crisis, wow, during the Bay of Pigs and what they went on through. So this shit gets deep. The only thing is do you wanna realize how deep it is?
You're listening to Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt. I don't know if you noticed, but on the feed, I dropped a 30-minute show about the giveaway contest. So if you're wondering who won the big giveaway from March 1st, where I gave away signed copies of books and a t-shirt, you can listen to that show for more details on that. But today, we're going to talk about all these things. It's a TMZ Illuminati confirmed show. It's the greatest hits. It's the best stuff. It's the news. We're catching up. Pop culture, symbolism, the occult. Where do these worlds blend? Well, I've got a lot of stuff. I got a stack of topics here. Cruella De Vil, Lady Gaga and her dogs, potato heads, Aleister Crowley, Barbara Bush. Was Crowley Barbara Bush's father? We'll find out. Some updates to Alice in Wonderland. We'll talk about the weather, some transhumanism, and of course, you know the drill, aliens. Aliens, the biggest topic. The next boogeyman. Now that we're turning the bend on the nasty old Wuhan flu, those aliens are coming next. Now, some of these topics we're not going too deep on. The first topic we will go deep on, Cruella De Vil. She's from that old Disney show, the 101 Dalmatians, about the dogs. I got 101 Chihuahuas, and all they do is bark and try to bite you. When you got food, they try to bite you. And it's okay, because we got rescue Chihuahuas, and here's the deal. If you get a Chihuahua, you get a rescue Chihuahua, right? And generally, their teeth are so rotted out that they've all been removed. And then when they bite you, they can't break skin. Joke's on them. Joke's on them. Now, the one dog, Eva, she will try like hell. She will grind those gums in what short amount of time she can get them wrapped around your finger. She's an angel, though. She's an angel. Oh, boy. She's listening. She's watching me. Sorry. Okay, I'm sorry, Eva. Now, Cruella. Lots of symbolism of the occult in this show, in this trailer, I should say.
From the very beginning, I realized I saw the world differently than everyone else. That didn't sit well with some people. But I wasn't for everyone. I guess they were always scared that I'd be a psycho. Sorry now. But a new day brings new opportunities. Sorry now. And I was ready to make a statement. The same girl. I am woman. Hear me roar. I'm just getting started, darling. The thing is, I was born brilliant. Born bad. And a little bit mad.
Because, you know, Disney's going to be dropping this Cruella movie. But on the trailer, you see lots of symbolism of the duality of the black and the white. And we're going to get into that. There's some phrases worth looking at. Drop. And this is just from the 2-minute trailer. And I'll put the images on the Instagram at Isaac Weishaupt. Like and subscribe. You will see all the images I'm talking about. From the beginning, she says that she saw the world differently from everyone else. They were scared that she was going to be a psycho, and she says, a new day brings new opportunities. I am woman, hear me roar. I was born bad. All these things, right? Well, what is she drawing energies towards? The archetype of the adversary, the Luciferian character here. At the same time, she is also drawing the archetypal energy from Alice in Wonderland, which we will talk about later. She says she sees the world differently from everyone else. Because that's what it's all about, folks. That's what Alice in Wonderland was all about. It's about opening the eyes of the uninitiated. That's you, that's me, that's everyone, that's the masses. Opening up the minds and the eyes of the masses to accept this new way of looking at the world. And in some ways, it's good. Question authority. In some ways, if you follow the research of so many truthers, it's bad. It's opening up the door to the new religion, the new global religion of the Antichrist. But that's not it. There's much more to be found in just this little old trailer. You see her driving a car. And the license plate on the car, it says devil. Should you think I was making up that she's drawing archetypal energy from the Luciferian adversary? It's on the nose on the license plate, says devil. And she pulls it to a place called Hell Hall. And again, I don't really watch Disney. I don't know much about it. Never really watched it. Ironically, Alice in Wonderland was the only movie I saw as a child watching Disney movies. That was the only one I ever saw. And it blew my mind, man. It was so good. I actually loved it. But it was because my babysitters would come over and they had the old VHS tape. And they would pop it in. And I'd sit there and soak in all the crazy occult messaging. And I was like, what is this all about? What is happening here? But we'll talk about Alice in a bit. I don't want to go too hard on that yet. But she pulls up to Hell Hall. I don't know. Is that where she lives? No clue. And you'll notice the logo has the X with the O. We've talked about this many, many times. Shout out Freeman Fly. But the old Kenneth Grant asserts that this is the mark of the beast. This will summon the Antichrist. This will bring forth Nodens from the abyss. Because Kenneth Grant was in the Typhonian OTO, and they were drawing all the energies to summon these gods, these aliens from the abyss. And sure enough, you see it on the logo for Hell Hall. Cruella also looks into the mirror before she is transformed, because she starts out, she's played by that actress, and that actress's name, who you will recognize as I further delay this while I look it up. The actress's name is turning to be much more difficult than I thought. Hang on. Emma Thompson. Jeez, there it was. Emma Thompson plays the character, and she's like a normal girl or whatever, and she looks in the mirror in the trailer, and then bam, now she's Cruella. It's the transformation. It's the entrance to the mystical realm, the other dimension, the one in which our world turns upside down. again, just like Alice in Wonderland, through the looking glass, right? Another curiosity that I found, because I'm a real nut job. I was watching it, and the van in the trailer pulls up, and it says JOH1930. And to me, when I looked at that, I thought immediately John 19:30, a verse from the Bible. And when you look it up, it'll make your blood freeze cold. Because guess what? And I'm not like, I'm not the guy that like spits Bible verses out. I just saw the license plate, and that's the first thing that I thought of, was like, is that a Bible verse? Let me look it up. I didn't even know if the book of John had 19 chapters. No clue. I'm not that guy. But I looked it up, and it's a section on the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. In the Orthodox Study Bible, it says, so when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Now, I took this to mean like, oh man, this movie about the Luciferian devil Cruella is sort of bragging about the finishing of Jesus Christ when he says it is finished and he dies. He gives up his spirit. But in the Orthodox Study Bible, in the study part, it says finished actually means fulfilled, meaning Christ's life did not end, but it shows the divine plan of salvation coming to completion. So in the movie, I would argue that whatever's in that van, again, no clue, maybe that is the adversary to the adversary. Maybe that's the Christian forces fighting against Cruella and her devil car pulling up to Hell Hall. Speaking of Hell Hall, she goes into the Hell Hall and there's a big party, very much like Eyes Wide Shut, with all the masquerade ball masks, minus the sexy time, of course. And she's wearing black and white and she's holding a match. Again, she's the Luciferian. She's the light bearer. Why do we see this? What's the symbolism behind the light? The light is a metaphor for the word. And to the Masons, it's a network of meanings. One example, the initiates, when they go for their ritual for the degree of the entered apprentice, they have their blindfolds removed and they are given the light. This is the wisdom. This is the word. Another meaning they suggest, and I read this in a book called Symbolism of Freemasonry. Another one is the three lesser lights. You got the sun, you got the moon, and then you got the lodge master. The sun rules the day, the moon rules the night, and then the lodge master rules the lodge. Those are the lesser lights. Then you got three greater lights, which is the volume of the sacred law, which, you know, that can be the Bible. With a page open to the book of John is what it said in this book. Again, I just told you the book of John 1930 was quite possibly in the storyline. But that's what it says in this book. It says the volume of the sacred law, which is the Bible, open to the book of John. Because the book of John starts with, in the beginning was the word, and the word is the wisdom to them. It's the Sophia. But to be fair, they say it could also be the Bhagavad Gita or the Quran or the square and compass. Now, in the trailer, Cruella, she comes out with the match as the light bearer on the black and white floor. Oh, the black and white floor. So many times we see this. It's the Moses pavement. The mosaic pavement of the Freemasons. Now, the flame from the match, it burns her up. She's wearing the black and the white. She's on top of the black and the white. And it shows a red dress. Again, this is the elements we've seen from the Scarlet Woman, the Whore of Babylon, who's here to bring about the end days, who's here to fulfill the Antichrist's attempt to take over the world. The Saturnian colors, of course, are red and black. Now, what's up with the Moses pavement, the mosaic pavement? Well, I'm going to read you from that same book. Says the role is to make us think of opposites and how they complement and contradict. Complement and contradict. So again, like they're massaging the subconscious to accept the adversary. All right, it's pure Saturnism. says here, it says, it's the floor of the lodge and paving stones of the Temple of Solomon that the high priest would walk on. The term is actually the mosaic pavement, but no relation to Moses. And the reason for that is it's referring to muses, the goddesses of art, right? Which could tie us into the next subject. We're going to talk about Lady Gaga, because she is the goddess. She channels the goddess energies. And for bonus points, the late, great Tracy Twyman, in a book in which she channeled the Baphomet and Cain and Lucifer and all these spirits, they said that the black and white cubes symbolized the two worlds merging, above and below, meeting together. The end times, the apocalypse, the revelation. So there you go. That's Cruella. Again, take a look at all the images I will put on the Instagram at Isaac Weishaupt, link in the show notes. Next, Lady Gaga. Her dog walker, he was walking them dogs. Is it he or she? It was a he. Some guy shot this dude, stole a couple of the dogs. I mean, come on, leave the dogs out of it. Leave the dogs out of it. In fact, you know, I'm actually, you know, I always talk trash about Lady Gaga, right? But I enjoy her music. And I felt bad. I thought, man, that's too bad. That's terrible. That must feel awful. Have your dogs stolen. But, I mean, she does do a lot of Illuminate confirmed stuff, so who knows? Now, what transpired here, she come out and said, I got 500 racks. Give me those dogs, no questions asked. Which to me should alarm all the Hollywood dog walkers. No questions asked. Now, you know, if you're a seedy individual, you could just sit around these rich neighborhoods and watch people's dogs and figure out who's got the, you know, celebrity dog. Because them wealthy dog owners, they pay people to walk the dogs, and they're not trying to get killed for the dog. Now, in just a couple days, Lady Gaga got her dogs back. How did this happen? Well, a woman showed up at the LAPD with the dogs, and they confirmed they are, in fact, Lady Gaga's dogs. Now, they think she was a Good Samaritan. This is also the official story, right? Because, I mean, the reality is, like, you're not supposed to negotiate with a terrorist, so maybe the criminals arranged it, and this is the cover story. Who knows? But she got her dogs back. And in fact, they're French bulldogs, right? So these are not rescue dogs. These are, and I'm very anti-dog groomer, dog breeder, not dog groomer. Sorry, dog groomers. I don't have a problem with you. Dog breeders. Because, like, they inbreed these dogs, and it's like, it's all about money to them. And these, you know, if the dog has some deformities, they just, you know, I don't know, do whatever it is they do with them. Nothing good. But anyhow, she got her dogs back. But the dog walker guy got shot and blasted. He's in the hospital. Bad day for dog walkers. Travis Scott, he's on the cover of ID Magazine, the Utopia issue, because I think he's got an album called Utopia coming out. In fact, he shared a picture of a chain that he got for Utopia. But anyway, on the cover of the magazine, as you saw on my Instagram feed, he's doing the all-seeing eye holding up a dog. And this was right before Lady Gaga's dogs got stolen, and I thought, my God, is he threatening Lady Gaga? Did Travis Scott arrange to steal Lady Gaga's dogs? No, I don't think that's true. But just for fun, I put a little poll on the Instagram story. Most of you said, yeah, he did it. Oh, my God. Travis Scott's threatening and then stealing dogs. Next, Mr. Potato Head. He went gender neutral. You already know the whole story because you've heard it, because this was like the hottest piece of news the whole week. Mr. Potato Head dropped the Mr. pronoun because he was, now the potato's gender neutral. Well, here's the thing, guys. And girls, I don't want to assume gender. Everybody. Here's the thing, everybody. This is just a publicity stunt to sell potato heads. I mean, you think potato heads were flying off the shelf before this? I mean, do people still buy those? I didn't know they were selling those anymore. just a publicity stunt. And much like politics, they know how to get people talking. They know how to ruffle the feathers. And why not, right? They say any publicity is good publicity. Well, the potato loses the gender. That's good publicity. But, you know, bad day for the fans of Mr. Potato Head. But I've already read that they say, oh, no, we're still going to have a Mr. and a Mrs. Potato Head, but there's going to be a gender-neutral one. So you see, they're going to make money off of this somehow. Kim and Kanye, it's a wrap. They're getting divorced. And I don't have a lot of Illuminate occult symbolism for that one. I just found it curious because I've talked about Kanye so many times. Curiously enough, if you recall back in, I believe it was in Paris, Kim Kardashian, they put her in the bathtub and they threatened her. And that's when Kanye had the big breakdown that he went to UCLA and got his MKUltra treatment, allegedly. But now they're getting divorced. But at least we'll get some good music, right? Because you know the tragedy spurs good art. So maybe Kanye will drop a good album. I mean, it's not all for a loss, right? Bad day for Kanye. Good day for the hip-hop heads. Next, Daft Punk. They broke up. I've talked about them a lot, too. They're always pushing the symbolism. They're always doing the triangle of manifestation. I mean, obviously, they're always pushing the transhumanism angle with the robotic stuff. I talked about this many times. Back in the golden ages of blogging, I've got a big, long article talking about it. But they broke up, and I watched this 8-minute video they released on the YouTube to reveal the breakup. Oh, boy, and it was excessively long. I don't know if you watched it. I mean, I like Daft Punk. The Homework album, I was bumping that. But, like, seriously, like, I say movies over an hour and a half are too long. This 8-minute video showed you nothing. Basically, like, the robots meet up, they program the one robot's head to explode, and then that's it. And then you get the triangle of manifestation. Oh, dear. Bad day for robots. Next, Tiger Woods. He wrecked the car. And that happened on February 23rd, which was a occult sacrifice day. A Terminalia. Maybe you recall that. Maybe you don't. I don't know. We talked about it with... what was it on? The Walking Dead, maybe? They had a whole thing about Terminalia. Yeah, it's a sacrifice holiday. But curiously enough, there was a show I watched on, I believe it was Showtime. It was like a two-parter, HBO or Showtime, about Tiger Woods. Very interesting. Now, this guy was kind of went the way of Michael Jackson. Didn't really get much of a childhood. Plagued by inner demons. Now, I'm not coming up with that term on my own. Don't think I'm being hyperbolic conspiracy guy. I'm going to read to you right from Fox News. Tiger Woods, who is recovering from a devastating car accident that left him with a shattered leg, describes in an upcoming documentary how he has had to overcome his, quote, inner demons to perform. And then he basically talks about, it says it airs this Sunday. Let me see. I don't know, was that March? Oh, dear. 7th. March 7th on ESPN. He's going to talk about it. He says, People which obtained a clip of the series reported that Woods said that for him, the sport is, quote, also about competing within myself. I have to overcome all my inner demons to perform because no one's going to bail me out. It's not like you can have a bad game and just sit out. So, I mean, what's going on with Tiger Woods? He's still recovering after the surgery. Compound fractures. They don't know. They don't know if he's going to make it through and start playing golf again, which is kind of a bummer because, man, that guy was impressive. I had no idea. But bad day for Tiger. They tried to take him out on Terminalia. Aleister Crowley, Barbara Bush. It's debunked. Maybe you don't. Yeah, let me give you the background of the Barbara Bush, Aleister Crowley saga. The original theory is that, okay, if you look at the pictures of Barbara Bush next to Aleister Crowley, you can see they look really similar. Then you look at these conspiracy theories that her mom, Pauline Robinson, aka Pauline Pierce, she married into the Pierce family. She was working for Aleister Crowley, allegedly, in 1924. And this is when Crowley was practicing sex magic rituals, because he was trying to achieve these high levels of the OTO. Historically, he created the last three degrees of initiation into the OTO. And it was all about sex. All about entering that all-seeing eye of Horus from behind, okay? But then Pauline came back to America in October of that same year, and then gave birth to Barbara Bush in June 1925. Now, these are all theories. I don't know how much of that's true. I wasn't there. But it's not part of the mainstream narrative, though, okay? The claim is that Pauline, Barbara's mom, she had a friend named Nellie O'Hara who was friends with Crowley, and she introduced the two, and they all hooked up. They had sex orgies. Sexy time orgies. And the counterclaim is that, well, Pauline was actually married with kids when she went overseas to visit Crowley. But you and I know, that ain't stopping freaky time from happening, okay? So I don't know if I care. That counter-argument is pretty flimsy. Then there's other claims. They say that the whole Bush bloodline is into these secrets, which is true, right? All the Bushes, they were in the Skull and Bones, CIA, intelligence agents, all this stuff. But ultimately, if you look at the photos, they look damn near identical. They both have these bugged-out eyes. And someone claimed, again, unsubstantiated, someone claimed that it's because Crowley and Barbara Bush both had the same thyroid problem, which I don't know if that supports the argument or not. So I was familiar with these ideas, and lo and behold, on February 28th, USA Today dropped an article out of nowhere. I couldn't believe it. It says, fact check, 15-year-old conspiracy theory about Barbara Bush originally an April Fool's joke. Oh, okay. I'm going to read you a little bit. A Facebook post from February 16th claims that infamous British occultist Aleister Crowley was the father of former First Lady Barbara Bush. This makes George W. Bush the grandson of the world's most famous Satanist. The user wrote, Crowley is known for founding a religion called Thelema and popularizing the term magic to describe supernatural acts of the occult. In a comment to USA Today, Casey Zevenbergen, who posted the claim on Facebook, said he saw the claim several times, including on the secure messaging app Telegram. This post has been circulating for many years. I also have seen it on other sites like Telegram. Not sure of the authenticity, but it's raised a lot of conversations. While the claim is false, official White House archives and the National First Lady's Library show Barbara Bush was the daughter of Marvin Pierce, who worked in publishing. The conspiracy theory has circulated online for nearly 15 years, and it all started as an April Fool's joke. On April 1st, 2006, a blogger who identifies himself as Joseph Cannon of CannonFire.com posted the first article to espouse this false theory. His article, transparent about its lack of solid evidence and mostly based on resemblance, suggested that Pauline Pierce, Barbara Bush's mother, and Marvin Pierce's wife, had a secret affair with Crowley during a trip to France. In an email interview with USA Today, Cannon wrote that the article was an April Fool's joke. He says he created the theory as a litmus test for conspiracy theory and truth-seeking groups. I wanted to test whether anyone would take the first obvious step of contacting me and asking, is this real? He said. It seems they did not. His theory has been discussed in online forums, featured at length in a documentary on Crowley called In Search of the Great Beast, which I've seen, by the way, and picked up by Alex Jones of right-wing media outlet InfoWars. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Yeah, so they're saying, we rate this claim false based on our research. There's no evidence to support that Crowley was former First Lady Barbara Bush's father. In addition, the writer of the blog says he made it up. So there you go. Case closed? I don't know. I'm skeptical of a lot of things in the truth of the world because They don't, truthers don't have the best track record of fact checking. Alice in Wonderland. An occult book coming out. A new one. Not mine. I wrote a book about the occult symbolism of Alice in Wonderland. This one's going to go deep. It's called Through the Looking Glass Darkly by Jake Fior. And what's curious is that phrase, Through the Looking Glass Darkly, is a phrase from the first book of Corinthians. Another Bible reference here. We're thumping that Bible hard today, everybody. And the Bible verse says, for now we see through a glass darkly. And it refers to a dim reflection. And in this case, it's a reference to the sequel of Alice in Wonderland's book. The sequel was called Through the Looking Glass and What Alice Found There. And Jake Fior rightfully asserts this is a psychedelic text without a moral lesson. He talks about how it parodies judiciary and the monarchy, you know, question authority, which is good, right? We want that. Again, like I always say, like, the occult stuff isn't always bad. In an interview with The Observer, he said this, quote, Carroll, he's referring to Lewis Carroll, the author. Carroll had a definite interest in the esoteric. I have a catalog of his possessions, including his library, and he had lots of books on the supernatural. Huh, very curious. And he found an original sketchbook by the guy who illustrated that book, Sir John Tenniel. And Fior, he is giving this story of how Alice's journey actually paralleled the journey of a man named Samuel Liddell Mathers. And you should recognize this name, right? I talked about him. And he also claims that Samuel Liddell Mathers is a distant relative to the real Alice who inspired this story. Isn't that something? Now, who is Samuel Liddell Mathers? Well, let's get into it. Fior discovered that he had formed the secret magical society known as the Golden Dawn, patronized by major literary figures such as Bram Stoker, E. Nesbitt, and Arthur Conan Doyle, and also by the notorious occultist Aleister Crowley. Quote, there is no evidence that Carroll was practicing magic, but he was interested in telepathy and was a member of the Society of Psychical Research. He also had a well-known obsession with wordplay and especially acrostics, and these come from Hebrew mysticism, which he would probably have known, said Fior. Now, in his defense, a lot of people around that time period, like Victorian era-ish, they were all into this stuff, right? The spiritualism movement. While working on the book, he found that although Carroll was not a Freemason, the Liddell family was very involved in the organization. The V&A exhibition, Fior suggests, will be a good opportunity for fans to go back to the darker side of the story, something that the Disney cartoon version has almost obliterated. Quote, the Disney image has become so strong, it has almost effaced Tenniel. That's the guy who did the illustrations, right? But I find the animated visuals a bit saccharine. I always think of the phrase from Anthony Burgess's Clockwork Orange, weak tea, new brewed, as opposed to the Tenniel, which is full strength with no sugar. So he's saying that the actual, if you drink off the tea, you're going to get a higher octane version of this story. And I like that he referenced Clockwork Orange. Shout out. I should try to catch up with that guy and try to get him on the show. Maybe we got a lot to talk about. Now, Samuel Mathers, he comes up in the research of the occult because he and Crowley had quite the relationship. First they were friends, then they were enemies. Crowley, in fact, wrote his novel Moonchild, and the villain was Mathers, and he used his secret magical name, which is like a big no-no in the occult magic community. The magical name is supposed to remain secret because it could be used against you. And supposedly the two were always squabbling about, I don't know, whatever, doing magic tricks on each other, playing little pranks like summoning a demon and manifesting it in their bedroom. I don't know, stuff like that. And there's not a lot you can find about Samuel Mathers. Dion Fortune claimed that he died from the Spanish flu. He died from the original Wuhan flu. But there's not much else factually known that can be verified. Some claim that Blavatsky tried to recruit him to start the Theosophical Society, because again, same time frame. But he was like Freemason. He was into Christian mysticism. He was in a Rosicrucian order. There's lots of Rosicrucian orders, by the way. He wrote some books about the Kabbalah. He infamously translated Goetia, the Lesser Key of Solomon. But he actually died before it published. And Crowley allegedly stole it and published it for himself. Because he's a bad boy. So his mom called him the beast. Because she knew he was going to steal books. What else? I got a few other little random topics I want to catch you up on. Drew Barrymore. I recently recorded I was researching for my Alien book, Use Your Illusion 2. And E.T. is going to be in the book. Oh, yeah. Everyone's favorite. E.T. And you know that's starring Drew Barrymore. Because she grew up in Hollywood. And as the story goes, you know, she got hooked on drugs and stuff pretty early, apparently. Allegedly. But she was on Howard Stern. And she talks about partying when she was 13. Let's see here. I'm going to read you from the Communist News Network. Barrymore said that as a child actor year, she was wild with too many resources and a mom who wanted to be her friend instead of her mother. Quote, I was going to clubs and not going to school and stealing my mom's car, and you know, I was out of control. So, you know, sometimes it was as humorous as that, and sometimes I was just so angry that I would go off and I'd get thrown in the thing. She said, explaining that the thing was a full psychiatric ward where she was placed for 18 months. Okay? Barrymore said it was not a cushy rehab experience. Quote, I used to laugh at those like Malibu 30 day places. Malibu was sort of the opposite of the experience I had. You couldn't mess around in there, and if you did, you would get thrown either in a padded room or get put in stretcher restraints and tied up. Barrymore said she was so angry she couldn't see straight, and she couldn't understand why she was being punished so severely. I asked myself, why is this happening? And I thought, maybe you need the craziest form of structure because everything was so accessible, available, and screwed up in your world, and maybe it's going to take something like this for you to kickstart the rest of your life. And that didn't come for probably 6 to 8 months. The first 6 to 8 months, I was so angry I couldn't see straight. Through therapy and soul searching, Barrymore said she has forgiven her mom and she didn't want to live in pain. So, here we got another celebrity going through some crazy mind control stuff. This is kind of like Kanye West, right? Similar. What are they doing to these celebrities? Why are they getting put in psychiatric units? Why are they exposing them to drugs at a young age? Is there a dark underbelly to Hollywood? Did you see the Pitbull interview where he says COVID is like getting close to communism? I don't know if you saw that. Well, speaking of COVID and communism, China. They're out here modifying the weather. I'm going to read you from CNN. China this week revealed plans to drastically expand an experimental weather modification program to cover an area of over 5.5 million square kilometers. That's 2 million square miles. More than 1.5 times the total size of India. You read into the article, it says China will have developed... We'll have a developed weather modification system by 2025. Blah, blah, blah. And basically, they're going to make artificial rain and artificial snowfall. They've been doing this for a while. They seeded clouds in the 2008 Beijing Olympics to reduce the smog. They actually do this in Utah, up on the mountains. They've been doing it since the 70s. Cloud seeding was in Vietnam, Operation Popeye. They were trying to flood out the Ho Chi Minh trails. And in fact, I wouldn't doubt that Utah has been working on weather modification because every year in the winter, we get real nasty pollution due to an inversion, a sort of natural effect of the mountains and whatnot. And the only way to clear out this nasty air particulates is with a storm, rain, snow, whatever. But I noticed that this past winter, there was like no inversion. I think they're doing it here. Geoengineering. The conspiracy people have been talking about chemtrails for a long time. And then, oh, one more sentence out of here. China is willing to deploy large-scale geoengineering schemes to tackle the impacts of climate change and achieve its Paris targets. So, again, that's a big subject I'm going to tackle here sometime, climate change. I very much believed in climate change. I'm not saying I don't believe in it. I think there's a lot of information out there that points to the idea that the man-made climate change is a factor in this whole thing. How bad is it? I don't know. I'm not a scientist. But I remember when I was studying this in college, I was really interested in it. I watched this whole documentary series with this, climate scientist dude from Penn State. And he laid out all the evidence. And I got finished with it. I said, okay, yeah, this is happening. Uh-oh. But I could be wrong, right? These scientists, how much do we trust them? I'm gonna dig into it again, but that's what they're saying now. They're going to use this geoengineering stuff to help with the climate change problem. So it could be a psyop, right? I don't know. I'm not a climate scientist. I couldn't tell you, but I'll give it a shot. I'm going to give it another shot this year, maybe next year. But I thought this went down in December, and now in January, Texas got whooped up by the storms. Unexpected snowstorms out of nowhere, freezing. You think China attacked Texas? You think China made the Wuhan flu to attack America? I don't know. Crazy stuff, huh? Recall that Billy Gates, he said he was going to block out the sun with nanoparticles. Which, I don't know if you've seen The Animatrix. Those are a series of anime movies about the Matrix franchise. That's the plot from The Matrix. They basically create these robots that get energy from the sun. So the only way to fight the robots is to block the sun with nanoparticles. So there you go. Are you scared yet? Next, aliens. Let's wrap this up. Aliens. Neil deGrasse Tyson. He wrote a new book, so he's making the rounds, and he's telling you there's aliens.
But only pretty sure. Neil deGrasse Tyson joins us now to answer our cosmic questions. Neil, good morning to you. Let's stick with the big one, biggest of all, I think. Are we alone in the universe?
Yeah, well, we don't know for sure, but if you ask any informed person, who knows, for example, the age of the universe, what we're chemically made of, life on Earth is chemically made of, how quickly life got underway on Earth, how many exoplanets are now in the catalogs, you would be inexcusably egocentric to suggest otherwise. So, yeah. Yeah, so, we could be, maybe we're not alone with other microbes, but possibly other intelligence as well.
So that's the follow-up question, right? If no, we are not alone in the universe, there are other beings out there. What does life look like out there? How do you define life?
You know, I mean, I can tell you this. Hollywood does a bad job at it, all right? All the life forms that they tend to show, they have two arms, two legs, eyes, nose, mouth, head, and most life on Earth doesn't have that. So that's life that we have DNA in common. So I don't think they do a good job imagining life elsewhere. The Blob was pretty good, 1958 Steve McQueen film. That didn't have it was an invertebrate thing that didn't have anything you would identify as humanoid. And plus, I guess there was no actor inside of it.
So then the question becomes, where is everybody? Which I think is a fascinating question. If we think life is out there, beings of some kind, we don't know what they look like, we don't know anything about it, where are they? How come we haven't heard from them? Are we a zoo here? Are we like their experiments?
Yeah, so there are a lot of suggestions for that. One is they have visited and they sort of were intrigued by us and we are in a zoo that they have collected. That's one hypothesis. Another one, I don't know if that's good or bad, but that's a hypothesis. Another one, my preference is that they have visited but have not hung around because they went back to their home planet and reported that there was no sign of intelligent life on Earth.
Mars. We're going to Mars. Perseverance landed, and it's going to find alien life. That's what they said. They're doing it. I'm going to read to you from NBC News. Perseverance successfully touched down on Mars, kicking off a 2-year mission to roam its surface and search for signs of ancient microbial life. So, let's see. Blah, blah, blah. NASA's taking a different approach, hunting for microbes. Instead of the Viking landers, the new Perseverance rover isn't looking for chemical signs of metabolism. Instead, it will move around Mars looking for sediments that contain clues to organisms that pitched and swirled in long-vanished seas. The rationale is simple. If Mars ever had life, the dead will surely outnumber the living and are therefore more likely to be found. Tells you where they landed on a crater, if Martians are found. Okay, here we go. The samples catched by Perseverance will hopefully be collected and returned to Earth by a future mission. What could go wrong? To be analyzed in terrestrial laboratories. There will be no eureka moment for Perseverance. If Martians are found, they will be found on Earth. But if that happens, it will be more than an interesting science story. Just as the past is now divided into before and after the Copernican Revolution, so too will discovering long-expired Martian bacteria permanently change humanity's view of its own importance. Well, there you go. That's what they're doing. Last paragraph. There is, however, one thing that could dampen the impact of finding dead life on Mars. If it turns out that Martian organisms were related to earthly life, if both sport the same DNA biology, then the discovery may point to the way life can accidentally spread between worlds. Hitchhiking on dirt clods, is that clouds? Clods? Kicked into space by meteor impacts. That would be interesting, yes. But far more portentous would be to discover that our solar system has had a second genesis. The life on Earth and Mars have different origins. That would imply that life is as commonplace in the cosmos. Oh, dear. Okay. Well, there you go. I told you they were going to prove... NASA said they're going to prove that aliens exist by 2025. This is what it looks like. Not too fun, though, right? Doesn't explain the UFOs. Elon Musk. He said he's an alien. Says, eccentric billionaire at the helm of some of the biggest companies in the world has revealed how he keeps up with his immense workload. He revealed that he's an alien to Cred founder... Kunal Shah, who was looking for answers from the businessman. Through a tweet, Kunal Shah asked Elon how he is holding, has he managed to... Oh boy, these people... This is from livemint.com. They need to get their editing game up. Through a tweet, Kunal Shah asked Elon Musk how he is holding, has he managed to end running over 4 organizations... Who wrote this? They may soon become $500 billion companies at such a young age. Elon Musk responded with a 3-word tweet saying, I'm an alien. He was also on Joe Rogan, and he said, honestly, I think I would know if there were aliens. I mean, if they wanted us to know about them, they could just show up and walk down Main Street like, hey, I'm an alien, check me out. Here's my spaceship. I just landed in the middle of Times Square. Then we'd be like, okay, we believe you. These are very subtle, these aliens. And then Rogan asked Musk if he ever thinks about UFOs during his work with SpaceX. However, it looks like aliens don't take up much space in his brain because he said zero. If they show up, I'm like, great, this is new information. Like, where were you guys up until now? If I see some evidence for aliens, I'll be the first to be like, ah, aliens. I believe him. I think he's an alien. But you remember how the rappers and stuff, for a long time, they were bragging about being aliens. What's up with that? Now Elon Musk is getting in on it? Oh, dear. The nerds are killing us. They're killing all of us. Finally, transhumanism. Did you ever hear the Sophia robot from Hanson Robotics? It's very disturbing. Well, there's news. From Reuters.com, I will read to you. Hanson Robotics, based in Hong Kong, said 4 models, including Sophia, would start rolling out factories in the first half of 2021, just as researchers predict the pandemic will open new opportunities for the robotics industry. And if you don't know who Sophia is, it's kind of like a robot that has sophisticated sort of AI responses. Seems very real. Looks real. Talks real. I mean, you can tell it's not a human, but it's pretty close. But they're saying that Hansen's going to make these robotic solutions to the pandemic. Says Sophia and Hansen robots are unique by being so human-like. They can be so useful during these times where people are terribly lonely and socially isolated. He's basically talking about the pandemic. And I went to their website. I went to Hansen Robotics. And they unleashed a bunch of different models. A bunch of different robots. You want to hear the names? Let's see. Well, first off, let me tell you, this is where they say something very interesting. It says, "My robotics and AI accomplishments incorporate discoveries from many previous robots from this team, including the AAAI award winning Philip K. Dick. And all this AI is networked into a whole using a protocol the Hansen AI team calls the Synthetic Organism Unifying Language, SOL." Now, how curious is this? Because Philip K. Dick was a proponent for the simulation theory. That's what he thought. And the AI in these robots, they're calling it SOL, Synthetic Organism Unifying Language. Okay. And then this robot on the website says, "Recently, my scientists tested my software using the Tononi-Phi measurement of consciousness and found that I may even have a rudimentary form of consciousness, depending on the data I'm processing." Now, what are the other robots that Hansen Robotics is working on? Well, you got Lil Sophia. I'm not making that up. Lil Sophia. She's going to be a rapper. Han, like Han Solo, of course. Bina, right? Remember Bina? That was in my first book, A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory, when I was talking about transhumanism back in, I can't even talk. See, I'm exhausted. My throat's exhausted. 2012, 13, something, I wrote that book. You can get it for free if you sign up for my email newsletter, IlluminatiWatcher.com. You'll get that book for free. I'll tell you how to get 4 books for $5. You can sweeten the pot. Another one's named Philip K. Dick, and another one's called Joey Chaos. Old Joey Chaos. Order out of chaos. And there you go. Now we're all caught up. Aren't you happy? Aren't you happy you can go about your day now that you know I've been watching for you? I've been Illuminati watching for you. Trying to reveal the secrets they don't want you to know. But yeah, that's the latest. Cruella's going to be hot on my radar. I'll watch that when it drops. Like I said, I don't normally watch Disney movies, but I'll check that out. I'm definitely checking out that Alice in Wonderland book. I think Barbara Bush is Crowley's grandkid, or kid. I do. I think so. They look alike. Come on. Really? And I do think they're modifying the weather. And I think Lady Gaga is a jerk for not taking in rescue dogs. So there you go. That's my judgmental hour of rumors and talking about all these celebrities. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you like the show, there's a way you can help out. You could subscribe to the show. You can leave a review for the show. Or you can sign up for one of my supporter feeds. Patreon, Rockfin, or the VIP section. Links in the show notes. You can check them all out for yourself. And until next time, stay woke.